Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, all you guys, what's up? Welcome. I'm Guy Haberman. We are live on YouTube. It is Thursday morning. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe to the channel. Appreciate that very much. This is also a podcast, which you can listen to. If you're watching, the podcast is down in the description below. If you are listening to the podcast, leave us a five-star review. In that review, ask a question. That'll be the mailbag, and we'll get back to mailbag stuff coming up. You can also watch down in the description. Coming up on the show this morning, Eric Crocker from Locked On 49ers, DB expert, DB coach, is going to join us on the show. He's been talking to people around the NFL, what he's hearing about Steve Wilks, and I want his take on what the Niners need out of their next defensive coordinator. And from a defensive backs perspective, does Kyle Shanahan now lean away from a DB coach to become his new DC after firing Steve Wilks on Wednesday? Bunch of stuff I want to jump into. But the first thing is Steve Wilks related, and Crocky's going to jump in about 10 minutes or so. The first thing is Steve Wilks related because there's been a discussion about scapegoating, if he's a scapegoat. You know, being fired does not make you a scapegoat. It does not mean that somebody else is making you a scapegoat. I don't think the 49ers are making Steve Wilks a scapegoat. In fact, I think if the 49ers had won the Super Bowl, we still might have gotten here in the end. I don't think Steve Wilks was going to be back even with a championship, as crazy as that is. How do you part ways with a guy after winning a Super Bowl? Would they actually do that? Or would they say, give it another offseason, give it another year, and maybe then it'll be better? But I don't think this was just a result-oriented decision by Kyle Shanahan, meaning they lost a Super Bowl, they fired Steve Wilks. That's what some people maybe who don't follow the team week to week the way the way a lot of you guys do, have kind of come away with that conclusion that he got scapegoated because they lost the Super Bowl. But that's not what happened. I mean, this thing has been simmering. It's been headed this direction for a long time. And I think I would bet that even had they won the Super Bowl, this is where it would have ended up, as crazy as that sounds. I don't know how you do that cleanly, neatly. You really going to fire a guy? Do you find another job? Sometimes, you know, an agent can find a guy another job. Oh, you know, this is good for me. I want to be closer to family. I don't know. You know, I don't know how you pull that off without it being a little bit messy. I'm not sure that Kyle Shanahan would care about it being messy. Would he care about, well, the next defensive coordinator that I hire is going to be concerned that even if he wins the championship, he might get fired? I think that defensive coordinator would go, you're going to pay me how much? And I might win the championship? Sweet. So I think this is where it was going. All right. Not a scapegoat. Kill that narrative right now. That's not what happened here. Okay. This goes back to the zero blitz in Minnesota, which we've talked about a lot during the season. We talked about it a lot the last few days as well. Look at this. Chase Senior from Chat Sports alerted me to this one this morning. Look at this quote. Now, this quote is from Kyle Shanahan. Okay. For those of you listening, I'll read it to you. But where the tweet comes from is the news. The Warner House is Fred Warner's podcast. I checked this morning. I don't think they've got a new episode. But here is the quote from Kyle Shanahan yesterday on a conference call at noon with reporters. You may have heard this quote already. He said it was a really tough decision because it says nothing about Steve as a man or as a football coach. He's exactly what we wanted as a man. He's a great football coach. But just where we're going, where we're at with our team, from a scheme standpoint, looking through it all throughout the year to these last few days, we felt pretty strongly that this was a decision that was best for our organization. Regular quote about a tough situation. I do think it was tough on Shanahan. I do think he really respected Steve Wilks as a guy. There's a reason he hired him. He thought, I'm going to take a really smart person, I'm going to put him into this situation, ask him to learn all our stuff and see how that gels. It didn't gel. But I think what's interesting is it's coming from Fred Warner's podcast Twitter account. Now, Fred probably doesn't run social for his Twitter account, but this tweet went up yesterday at 12:38 p.m. So if Fred didn't like it, it'd be down by now. It's still up. So I think it is reflective. And if you follow this team, you've watched some of the stuff they've said, they've been uncomfortable. Fred Warner during the year, comments were made. Nick Bosa during the year, comments were made. Nick Bosa on Tuesday, this is what Akash Anavarathan, I'm just reading from his post. Nick Bosa spoke to the media. The zone read got us a couple times. We could have been more prepared there. We have to know in crucial situations who's going to have the ball. And obviously it's Mahomes. We could have been more prepared. All right. So Nick Bosa says after the game, we could have been more prepared. Now, I do think sometimes in these situations, you can take what a person says a little out of context, you know, for example, or make it more than it is. For example, after the game, Kyle Juszczyk asked, did you know the overtime rules? And he, I don't remember the exact quote, but Juice was like, nah, I didn't really know the rule. Well, then he told Mike Silver, it didn't matter. And then, did you see the clip from NFL Films? He did know the rule by the time they hit the field because he said it in, there's a clip of Juice saying it in the huddle. Hey guys, I didn't know, but if we score a touchdown, they still get the ball. So when he stepped on the field, he knew the rule. It turned out what he was saying post-game in the fog of war, so to speak, was, yeah, I wasn't coming into the game. I didn't know the rule. But he knew the rule when he stepped on the field. The cameras caught him saying it yesterday. So my point is, like, you can take that quote and say, knew nothing when he stepped on the field, and that's not exactly the truth. And I'm just saying that to give Bosa a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here, because after a game, you want people to honestly evaluate what happened. John Feliciano is another example, right? He gets on Twitter, the clip of Chris Jones cutting loose and giving Brock Purdy too much pressure on 3rd and 4 in overtime for him to make a play. That clip goes around. He says after the game the next morning on Twitter, if the right guy does the right thing, then this doesn't happen. Spencer Burford says, hey, man, what are you doing? Putting me under the gun. He's like, I didn't mean it like that. And I don't think he did. I think he was just honestly explaining what the situation was. And you'd prefer for your players not to do it on Twitter. My advice to guys after Super Bowl would be, let's just stay off social for a couple of days. But nonetheless, it was just an honest assessment. So I say all that to say, this Bosa quote, maybe he's not trying to hammer anybody. Maybe he's just being honest. But over the course of the year, if you watch Nick Bosa and other 49ers talk, you know that those guys were a little uncomfortable with their scheme. It's that simple. So now they're going to find a new defensive coordinator. And there's, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on Kyle. But don't for a second let anybody run with the narrative that, like, somehow Steve Wilkes is shouldering all this blame and Kyle Shanahan's getting away unscathed. The one thing I know around these 49ers, Kyle Shanahan's never unscathed. Kyle Shanahan gets all the heat. All right, let's talk about Steve Wilkes. Maybe some names for what comes next. Get a real defensive mind on this situation and figure out. One question I have for Crocky is going to be, is Kyle going to be afraid? Is Kyle going to shy away from any defensive coordinator with a background with defensive backs? Maybe Crocky's a candidate for the job. From Locked On 49ers, a lot of you have been asking for this collaboration for a long time, so it's great to have him. Live from Stockton, California, ladies and gentlemen, Crocky, Eric Crocker. Good morning. What's up, Crocky? How you doing, man?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for jumping in on the show this morning.
Of course, of course. We've gone back and forth in DMs and stuff for a while, so I think it was inevitable to get us on at the same time at some point.
Yeah, I think so too. And this actually started because of a DM. You and I were DMing, and I was like, I'm tired of texting. Why don't you just come on the show and talk about it? So here we are. Before you came on, I was just saying there's a difference between firing a coach and scapegoating a coach. I don't think Steve Wilkes is getting scapegoated. I think this has been a little inevitable. I actually think if I had to bet, Crocky, I'd say he, and this is weird, this gets messy. Even if they win the Super Bowl, we might end up here with him getting replaced. What's your take on all that?
If Jimmy Garoppolo completes that pass against Emmanuel Sanders, does that erase how people truly felt about his abilities to maybe do it again? And I would say, just like Jimmy, the answer would probably be, no, I don't think it erased everything. I think there would still kind of be those doubts on just the caliber and type of quarterback he is. I would say it's the same for Wilkes in this situation with Kyle Shanahan. I don't think it was a one game thing. And there are a lot of people that are kind of alluding to that. It feels like you said, as I was coming on, there was more of a disconnect throughout the season. Now use the word scapegoat. And I would say the only time I felt like he was being scapegoated was during the 3-game losing streak, where it's like, well, the offense is only scoring 17 points in each of those games, and you kick the defensive coordinator out the booth and put him on the field. I felt like at that time they were kind of putting the blame on that situation more so on him, but clearly there was a disconnect, whether it was during those games or through the entire season, with not just Wilkes and Kyle Shanahan, but you know, Wilkes and maybe the players as well.
Yeah. Did you think him coming down from the booth to the field, you've called defense. Are you wearing, is that your school that you're wearing the jacket?
Yeah. I coach at Edison High School.
Okay, Edison Stockton, not Edison Fresno.
No, but I actually lived in Fresno my freshman year. I went to Sunnyside and we got crushed by Edison and Fresno. So I'm familiar with them as well.
Was Tim McDonald coaching them then?
I don't think Tim McDonald was there, but I did come across Tim when he was the defensive back coach when I was with the Jets.
Oh, okay, cool. Did you think him coming down from the booth to the field, Matt, was made a difference? Did that ultimately do anything?
Hell nah. Like, it may make a difference if that's truly what the players just wanted. Like, they felt like, if he's there, I'm going to play better. But during that time, you know, I coached at Edison High School, and we have a lot of really good coaches on our staff, one being my guy, Lavelle Hawkins, right? So that day, I went to each coach, and I said, do you think this is will make a difference, and what do you think about it? So I went to Lavelle first, and Lavelle Hawkins said, it doesn't matter. And most coordinators he's been around have been up in the booth. And, you know, he played with Tennessee Titans for several years. He was with the Niners for a little bit, the Chargers. He didn't think it's that big of a deal. Then I went to my guy, Desmond Bishop. And Desmond Bishop, he's our defensive coordinator. And he played with the 49ers. He also played in the NFL for 9 years, won a Super Bowl with Green Bay. And he said he actually prefers to be in the booth. And he didn't think it would make a difference if the guy went down to the field. Like, at the end of the day, it's about execution more so than if a coordinator who sees the field better from up top and has a better feel for it, and if that's where he's comfortable, it's best he's there. And our head coach, Booker Guyton, who had been a coach for a really long time in high school football and college, and he said if when you move him down, he felt like Wilkes' time is up. That was his initial reaction. He said, you move him down and take him away from something he wants to do, you're likely grooming someone else for the job. So that was his initial reaction at that time.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I mean, I want to get to with you, like, do they have somebody in-house that's groomed or not? But just what was your take this year from a defensive standpoint? Because I think the first thing you said there was, that was my read on it, that he came down to the field because that's what was going to make the players feel more comfortable, right? Fred Warner's like, I don't want to talk through somebody on the sideline who's then in the headset, who's then talking to Wilkes. Like, I need him down here so we can make adjustments on the fly. Nick Bosa, member, had the comment at one point during the year, like, well, you know, he's still adjusting to what we do here. So the players kind of have the same attitude that Kyle Shanahan had coming into the situation, which was, well, you need to adapt to us, not the other way around. So, I mean, did you feel like there were problems? Did you understand? I thought, you know, it's funny. We'll answer that question, and then I'll ask another question. Did you think there were, as you watched it, did you see problems?
I always felt like the defense wasn't as bad throughout the year as a lot of what I'm seeing on social media. You know, I do think there were some moments, and you know, even if you just go back a few weeks and go to the Lions game and kind of what that looked like in the first half, and it almost felt like there wasn't an answer for it, right? I've seen some coaches with the 49ers kind of go through that same thing. I remember a game D'Amico Ryans was coaching against the Arizona Cardinals, and this was when Kyler Murray was out, so they were playing with Colt McCoy, and it almost felt like D'Amico had no answer for what the Arizona Cardinals were doing in a Kyler Murray-less-led team. But more times than not, you felt like D'Amico Ryans had a good grasp. And I felt like more times than not, Wilkes had a good grasp on attacking opposing defenses. I mean, offenses. Now, was it to the extent of a team that was going to be number one in every category? You know, maybe not. And I've seen some DVOA numbers thrown out there, or yards per play, or EPA, or whatever that stuff means. But overall, just watching it with my own eyes, I felt like more times than not, I was not upset or not pleased with how the defense had performed in most of these games.
You got to give them credit. They're there's D'Amador Lenore got better this year. I thought Ambry Thomas got a little better this year. Now, he didn't end up, he didn't play in the end. Isaiah Oliver was his guy, and he got completely phased out, right? But I, you know, the tough part, not the tough part, but like the irony of it is, I think he's a, at minimum, and maybe he's a very good defensive coordinator. I think he's definitely a very good secondary. Like, you'd want him on your secondary staff with these young DBs. Those guys got better. And you can't deny Hufanga getting hurt. So Logan Ryan gets called off a Disney cruise. Cleland Furl gets hurt. You added two guys on the defense during the year, right? Randy Gregory and Chase Young, both of whom never were able to replace Cleland Furl as a pass rusher. We kept waiting after they got Chase Young, like, all right, well, I guess he'll start his second week here. And just until Cleland Furl get hurt, Cleland Furl clearly was their preferred guy. So you got to acknowledge that they had some inconsistencies in personnel and a lot of moving parts on that defense too this year.
Yeah, but I would say that's every year, right? Like, you're going to deal with that. And I think the great DCs and the great coaches, they do a great job of being able to overcome that. I think we've seen that throughout, you know, for even for Kyle Shanahan throughout his tenure here, where, you know, maybe somebody goes down and he figures out a way to overcome that and adjust. You know, I remember his first year coaching and you had Trent Brown at tackle, and then all of a sudden Zane Beatles is having to play right tackle, right? So I think for coaches, you know, being able to, or having to, you know, overcome some of the adversities and still be able to, you know, be productive to some extent, that's just part of the job. And I think for Wilkes, you know, it is tough. You lose a guy like Hufanga, who is an all pro, and you want to continue building on what he is. But if he goes down, it's like, all right, we got to get this young guy ready to go. And there was a little bit of a musical chairs there. They brought in guys like Logan Ryan and kind of did this back and forth with Jair Brown, Logan Ryan. I don't know if that messed with the psyche of a young kid who
Jair got hurt too, right? He got banged up.
Right, and that as well. So, you know, there's different things you're going to have to go through, but I don't think for this team and what the expectations are, we can't, I don't want to use that as an excuse for Wilkes, but you still have to figure out a way to be productive. And I thought in the biggest game, regardless of if it was his game plan or not, whatever that situation was, the 49ers ultimately did what I felt like was a decent enough job to potentially win the game, regardless of losing certain guys or maybe not getting as much production out of certain guys as you would like.
Yeah, I mean, they, to me, their offense reflected their defense in the Super Bowl. On offense, they almost made enough plays. And in a couple critical spots, the 2 third and 4s, I felt that way after the game, and I feel that way now, were the two biggest plays of the game. 3rd and 4, you pick up one of those if you're the Niners. 2-minute warning, 3rd and 4. McDuffie blitzes. Ayuk's open over the middle. Purdy doesn't get the protection or the throw. 3rd and 4 in overtime. Chris Jones comes free up the gut. Jennings is open for a first down. Ayuk is open in the end zone. He doesn't have time because they didn't get the protection right. So in those two moments, if you want to blame Burfer, whoever, the Niners, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, the people in charge of getting that protection right didn't, and Spags beat him. And the same thing happened on defense. Like, a couple of critical plays, Mahomes keeps the ball, Niners aren't ready for it. I don't know, you know, I don't know if you know Jeff Schwartz, but he was on the show the other day. And he said, I've watched every snap of the Chiefs this year. They didn't run that Mahomes play one time all year. So he was like, I don't really blame you for not expecting that to come. But
I asked that question on social media. Someone had
really?
Like, oh, well, they weren't prepared for Mahomes to keep. And I'm like, well, how many times did Mahomes keep on that throughout this entire year? Because a lot of
Schwartz
times
said never once. And he didn't think it was a read. He thought it was a straight keep.
And that's what my guy Rich Madrid had said on social media. He said it's not a that's not a read or zone read option or whatever. He just kept it based on whatever the 49ers did. And I think for things like that, it's hard to account for, right? Like most coordinators, let's say in high school and even at the pro level, typically you go back about 3 or 4 games. Sometimes if you have a little bit more time, you'll go back further. But maybe preparing for a Super Bowl, I never prepared for a Super Bowl. You may go back even further than that. And if you're going back 4, 5, 6 games, 7 games, and at no point do you see a guy do a read option, it's hard in the moment all of a sudden to think that they would counter and do something different than anything you've seen over a 7-week, 8-game span. And again, not a zone read or read option, but just the fact that he would keep it.
Let me ask you a really stupid question then. Someone who's not on the field at a high level. Can you not see the ball in his hands? Like if you're Bosa crashing down on 4th and 1, right? Bosa comes flying down the backside. Mahomes is holding the football in his hands, right? He's not looking for it. Explain that.
I think he's looking to make a play on the running back and tackle, get a nice TFL to seal the game.
Yeah. Yeah. it's Patrick Mahomes.
And if you're looking at the quarterback, then you're likely going to be late to make the tackle.
Gotcha.
And that's just me viewing it from the eyes of probably.
No, let's talk about it like how it actually happens. Do you have a take on just Steve Wilks in general? Like we've talked about whether would you have done this? Did you think it was the right thing? Do you think the Niners made a mistake?
I think it's the right thing based on really if I'm Wilks. Like if I'm Wilks, get me out of here. You know, if I'm not if I'm not being valued, and this is not me saying that, you know, Wilks was this amazing DC for the 49ers, but if I am Wilks and I'm putting myself in his shoes, I probably feel a little undervalued throughout this situation. And maybe it is best for us to just part ways because we just weren't on the same page for whatever reason. Now, I reached out to, you know, a couple of people, a part of the Panthers organization, one in particular, a star player. And I was just confused with the disconnect, right? Like just not getting along with Kyle, just the vibe, some of the players kind of saying certain things, alluding to it not being a good fit. So I'm like, you know what? What am I missing here? Let me reach out to someone who knows Wilks very well. So I asked a question and I said, man, I just need your thoughts, bro. Like, you know, I think it's wild how he's being treated. What do you think about Wilks? Like, do you have just any thoughts on him? And this is, I'll read what he said word for word. He said, one of the best coaches I've ever had, best leader of men I've ever been around, super stand-up guy, plays no favorites and holds everybody accountable. He's just a great coach all around. And if you ask anybody who has ever dealt with him, you're most likely going to get the same answer from everyone.
Okay, so high-level guy.
High-level guy. That's what it felt like. So again, I think it just comes back to however he is, it did not mesh with what the 49ers have been building over the years.
Yeah.
Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code ham to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code ham. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And, of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert? Get outside. Enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. And use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got a surprise for you, Cracky. This is Will Blackman.
Hey, Will, did you like my analogy yesterday?
That was horrible.
So you guys know each other well. Will played in the league for over a decade, won a Super Bowl with the Giants. I know Will from doing college football games on FS1. And I texted Will last night. I said, hey, you're tight with Cracky, right? And he replied, oh, no, what's he mad about? And I said, no, it's nothing like that.
Look, I gotta protect my dog. I can't just be like, yo, I gotta make sure you're good. What happened to him now? You know, yeah.
Nothing happened to him.
I was like, guy, don't be saying nothing bad about my guy. So that's why I try to.
He immediately went on the defensive for you, Cracky. So
hey, real quick, to go on the defense of both of you guys, I listened to you guys on a broadcast, if I'm not mistaken, college football broadcast,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, you do. Yep.
And I thought you guys were terrific, and I think I talked to Will about it, but I said, man, guy is really good. Like, I'm listening to how you're calling the game. This is not to toot your horn, but this is a real conversation I have with Will. But I'm like, man, guy sounds like he sounds like a veteran in the booth. Like, you were well prepared. You knew every player. It was like you knew like backstories on the player and certain things. I was like, man, this is some good football talk right here. Like, if I'm just watching the game, and I don't know most of these players out here, but great job, guy.
Thanks, Cracky. I appreciate you saying that. The thing I'd say about Will is, like, working with Will a few times, you know, you're going to get a good meal the night before. And he's the same on the air as he is off the air. So I hope people, I don't know. I said to Will, I'm like, Will, why don't you come on and talk to Cracky and also give us your takes on defense. Will, for people, I'll tell you one other thing about Will before Will can weigh in on this. So Will coached with the Cowboys this year, before the year. And he said this, he told me, he's like, this guy, Deron Bland, is about to go off. That was your call before the year. And you're right. You nailed that one. So you're not wearing your Cowboys gear here, but welcome.
No gear right now.
Thanks for jumping in real quick.
All good. I got a few minutes before I take the kids to school.
Okay.
What's the
word? You got any 49ers takes coming off the Super Bowl? Steve Wilkes?
I mean, that's usually when something abrupt happens like that, there's a disconnect between the two coaches. That's the only time rarely when I see good coaches get let go is because there's a disagreement somewhere within the building. You know, I guess you go all the way back to, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, right? They had a disagreement, and I mean, they had everything they need to go win another Super Bowl, you know? And then they had a disagreement hence why Jimmy Johnson just now got into the Ring of Honor, which is nuts. But they were able to repair that. I look at the, Marty Schottenheimer and the Chargers, you're right. He goes 14-2 and gets let go because there was, I guess, just a disagreement amongst the higher ups. So that's the only thing I can come up with in this situation. There had to be some kind of disagreement on how things were operated. Cause it's not like, I mean, shoot, you got the Super Bowl. That was the goal, you know, obviously to win it was the main goal, but it's rare you can just find another. I mean, I know that they're 3-for-3 right now on finding good DCs, But this one's going to be interesting how they replace Wilkes.
Well, I have a question for you real quick, and not to hijack the show.
No,
but
no, go for it, Crockett.
No, this is your, it's you.
A lot of what
I hijacked it.
What I'm hearing from 49er fans, right, and maybe you can answer this question better than me. You played all over the secondary. You played in the slot. You played in this safety position. You played outside cornerback. So you just have a better understanding of all of it and how it works. But a lot of people saying that Wilkes did not do a good job of mirroring the coverage with the rush. What do they mean by that? Because that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I guess calling, if I'm trying to make sense of it, because for me, that is very detailed. I guess calling rushes and I guess games and stunts and blitzes according to how your secondary plays. So, I mean, unless you have a really like a really good pass rush, you can play, I guess, more zone and play with more eyes because the ball's going to come out. Now, if we don't have great zone coverage, guys, then we're going to call more pressures. You know, we when I was in Washington, we had an older secondary. It was like me. It was like D. Hall. It was Golston. It was, you know, older guys. We had young corners, but we had older guys in the secondary. And then we had, you know, undersized linebackers that weren't super fast, but they were really, really smart and played good football. But we had to send a lot of heat to get the ball out. I mean, I remember one time we played the Cowboys, and I think Joe Barry called zero, like, four plays in a row. It worked, but I'm like, at one point, I'm like, hey, man, like give me a cover two once in a while.
Yeah.
But I think that plays a big part. You know, you look at the old Seahawks defense, and, I mean, they had guys that can do everything, but they had so many monsters in the front seven that they were able to play more of that zone. But they did have linebackers that could run, which San Fran has. But Seattle also had big corners, all-pro corner, all-pro safeties, you know. And I think Hufanga was a big deal. That was a big miss. San Fran should have won a game regardless, but I think just not having him, that could play a big part into what they were able to do overall, you know, because he's, you know, top two, maybe if not the best safety in the NFL. And,
really?
And missing him was huge because he literally, when you think of, like, you know, Troy Polamalu, you think of, you know, Earl Thomas, like he's in that realm in terms of silent the sideline off the hash. Oh, he's coming up and hitting. So,
wow.
He did some things that I felt like kind of went under the radar and were very underrated. For a guy who's not the fastest and isn't pegged as being a coverage guy, you know, I watched the 49ers really have him on the island against Tyler Lockett with a two-way go, and he undercut and jumped the route. Like, it essentially was like zero. He had no help. Undercut it. He nearly picked it off, went off his hands. Gibson ended up picking the ball off. But just the fact that he had the instinct to be able to undercut that, it kind of shows the level of trust that they had in him. And having a safety able to do that, it definitely makes your defense more versatile. Not having him probably puts you in a bind just a little bit if you can't trust a Jair Brown or maybe even a Logan Ryan, guys that are filling in for him.
Yeah, and I mean, Troy is his mentor, actually. You know, he is someone that he does communicate with in terms of Troy Polamalu. But yeah, and I would say the most underrated part of Hufanga's game is the run defense. When I was in Dallas, you know, I'll go through all the pro tapes just on my own casually, and I literally sat in the office and watched this tape for like an hour, and it was just – I was like, damn, dude, like, people don't realize how good this dude is, man.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah, he's legit certified all-pro.
Will, I know you got to take the kids to school. Crocky's got to get out in like 10 minutes. So before, Will, I'll let you jump here in a second. Before you go, any defensive coaches out there you love? Anybody that should be a defensive coordinator that isn't, you think?
You know what? I think it just comes down to personality fit. You know, a hot name that's always out there is someone I like is Chris Richard. You know, he was the secondary coach for the Legion of Boom. And then he also ended up being the defensive coordinator and then went to New Orleans. Now he went to Dallas, was the pass game coordinator in Dallas and New Orleans. But you know, he does have a very, very strong personality, but he has a tremendous heart. And I think it's hard in our business to see the difference, or to see one and not see the other. But I think overall, just how genuine he is, smart guy, really, really tough, will hold everyone accountable. And first and foremost is holds himself accountable when it comes to anything. But he's someone I think of initially. Everyone else I thought of is already hired. So
Rex, Bill, Vrabel, big names.
It it depends, because right now San Fran has a little trend, you know.
What are you talking about?
You hire my coach, I get a pick.
They're going for the minorities.
Yeah, and so far it's been great, because everyone has been an actual legit hire, and but I think right now they just have to find the best fit. Schematically impressed, because you mentioned Rex Ryan. That's another one. You know, those do the personalities match? Right. Rex has a great heart. Rex is a great coach, but Rex has a strong personality. You know, I don't know Coach Wilkes, but he seemed quiet. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't work out. So,
all right, Will, we'll let you jump out. Go check out his website, The Wine MVP. He didn't ask for it, but he's wearing the hat. So
that's because I need a cut. Sorry.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for jumping in.
Yes, sir. All right, Will.
All right. So I knew you'd like seeing Will. And I know you got to jump here in a couple minutes. But all right. So you just read us a text before Will jumped in from a player who said he's a big Steve Wilkes guy. Your turn before you go. Like, who do you like? Who makes sense out there? You know, Belichick comes up, Vrabel comes up. The only reason Rex comes up is because Rex said on Sunday, I don't know if you saw this, Crocky, Rex said on Sunday that he called Mike McCarthy about the Cowboys job. And that's the first time he's ever called a coach for a job. I mentioned the guy I think is a sleeper is Danton Lynn at UCLA, now at USC. He's Anthony Lynn's son. He was the DC for a year. You know, it may be a little early. It may be out of Kyle's comfort zone because he's a college coach, but he'd been in the NFL. He was kind of Mike McDonald. Like, he was a Ravens assistant, goes to college. Had a lot of success last year. He got pressure twice as much as he blitzed with the UCLA defense, but they had some really good players. So there's one name. I mean, there's 100 names. There's all the guys that are still on the Niners staff. So what's your list look like?
I don't think it includes Rex. Rex is a very strong personality, and he has the utmost like faith and confidence in what he does. Mm. So Kyle, one thing that we know is he has a vision for how he feels the defense should be ran. That's why he hired Robert Saleh and brought him in. Like, it was very specific. Robert Saleh, I want you to come and run this specific defense. You know, and I don't think he was the first choice, but eventually when he was chosen, it was, you were in Seattle, you came from Jacksonville, like, you know, under Gus Bradley, you know this defense that I want to run. So we're going to bring you in and you're going to run that defense. And then, all right, at that same time, he brought him in. Well, D'Amico Ryans came in as well. So D'Amico was there from the start with Robert Saleh. So D'Amico was able to see everything, be in every meeting and see how everything went, how Kyle likes things, how Kyle wants things. So when they moved off to Saleh and went to D'Amico, it was really a seamless transition for a guy that understood Kyle and how Kyle wants to do things. They went out house and got Wilkes. Clearly, we see just for whatever reason, it didn't quite mesh. So if I'm them, and we can talk about Rex, right? Rex, big personality, a lot of confidence. I can't see him taking orders from someone on how to run defense. Like, if he's going to take orders from anyone, it would be like, dude, my dad created a defense. You know, like, that was a lot of, like, he would talk about those things in meeting, you know, and I had messaged you about, like, what he is.
Yeah.
If that superstar or that star player for Carolina and what he said about Wilkes and the words that he used there, right? I feel the same way about my time in seeing Rex Ryan. He was amazing.
You were there. What, you were with Rex at the Jets, right?
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah.
He was one, an amazing teacher, first and foremost. Like, the X's and O part, he got that. And there are some coaches who X's and O's, they know those things. But being able to teach it, and being able to really teach all positions and get people to truly understand how you are doing things and why. Like, that's a little different to see someone to teach at that level. And then the methods in which he went to teach. We'd be sitting in the meeting and he'd say something And again, if you guys have kids here, cover your ears just a little bit. I'll try not to use bad language, but he starts the meeting off by saying, how many of you guys like bald vajayjay, right? And guys raise their hands like, oh yeah, I like bald, you know? And he's like, how many of you guys like a landing strip, you know? So some guys like, yeah, I like a little hair, you know? And then he's like, how many of you guys like that muff? And it's like him and a couple other coaches. He's like, yeah, me and Dundee, we like that muff. So this play is called show muff, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes into the install and kind of like ties it all in together, right? He had a very unique way of teaching, but getting everybody engaged and understanding. So to see how he taught. But then the players coach, a guy who was at the bottom of the roster, me, you know, on the verge of getting cut every day. And he would, you know, I remember I had to go and I had to get a tooth pulled. And he said, hey, Croc, you know, I heard you had to go get your tooth pulled. You know, like, you okay? I know that had to be painful. And I'm like, hey, you know my name? Because most guys, you know, coaches and stuff, you're a number. Oh, 41, you know, get out there or whatever. So he was very personable. He's a guy that a lot of people would like to have a drink with. But he strongly believes in his ability and his scheme to coach. I don't know if that would mesh well with Kyle, who has his vision on how he wants things done. Unless he just says, well, you've been so good in the past, I'll just let you do your thing.
Yeah.
Not sure that's Kyle. So for me, they tried the out-of-house thing. I think they go maybe back in-house. And if you look at a guy like Holland, who has been an LB coach, most of the time LB coaches I talked about at Edison High School, my defensive coordinator, Desmond Bishop, he's a linebacker. Those linebackers, they understand the back end, they understand the front end. They're really good and well-versed with that and understanding how to, you know, whether it's, you know, blitzes and how everything works together. I feel like Holland maybe would have been a good guy to look into last year. They ended up going outhouse with Wilkes. Maybe they kind of go back to him. He's been with this team this entire time. I think he understands Kyle and how Kyle likes to do things. I don't know if he has a game plan and how he would do things and whatnot, but I assume he has some type of idea. Maybe he's someone that they consider.
All right. Anything else to add before you go off to drop off line?
Nah, man. Just a great show. You know, I tune in a lot while I go and work out, and appreciate the way that you talk about things from an unbiased perspective. And I think it's great stuff. Eric Crocker probably can't be at DC anytime soon. I got to learn from Dez. I told Dez I'm going to show up at his house a few times a week throughout this offseason to learn more about the front end. Maybe in a year or two, I'll be ready to join the 49ers staff.
All right. They're very good. Because somebody here said, how about you for DC? You played football in his hometown of Portland. What a dude. We didn't even get to talk about you were in the AFL.
Yeah.
I started broadcasting in the AF2. Do you remember the AF2? It was a place you didn't want to go, probably.
They would not pay me enough. Like Deion Sanders said, they probably would have had to put me on layaway.
I think you guys are making $200 a week is what I
remember. Yeah, no way I'd do that. But I am familiar with it because Stockton had a team. So
yeah, they did.
I had some buddies that ended up playing on the squad.
Yeah,
but I did play in Portland. I played in Portland. Matter of fact.
What was the team in Portland?
Portland Thunder. Okay. I was the number one overall pick in that draft. And they brought me in. This was fresh off of being let go from the Jets. And I had a good year, 11 interceptions. You know, was a big free agent after that. And I definitely enjoyed my time. The Voodoo Donuts there, downtown Portland. So, I enjoyed my time in Portland.
Last time I was in Portland, I saw a guy in the bathroom at the airport holding a box of Voodoo Donuts coming out of the stall. I was like, no, man, no.
Not even
he was traveling with them, but he didn't have anywhere to put them. I'm like, no.
You got to leave them out and just say, can you wash these donuts for me?
Yeah, you got to leave them out. All right, man, we'll let you get to it. Thanks for jumping in today. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
This was fun. All right, there goes Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers. Very cool. Appreciate him. And our guy Will Blackman jumping in as well for a few minutes. Got some of your comments to get to as well. But there's a few other things I wanted to hit also today. But before I do that, let me get to a few of the comments because they're Steve Wilkes related. Super chat from Gam and Chris Hewitt, Ravens secondary coach. All right, I don't know a lot about Chris, but I'll add him to the list. And I wish it's too bad Crocky just missed Danton Lynn with the Jets. Danton Lynn came in the year after Crocky was there, so I couldn't ask him about him. Gammon says D'Amico's last year here, he repeatedly outcoached Kyle Shanahan on a weekly basis. I didn't come away with the same feeling from Wilkes. I mean, Kyle, right? Obviously, the one thing I would say about Rex, and I agree, Crocky, I mean, the guy played for him, so I would agree, you know, he has a good feel. I do think part of Kyle probably wants to not have to worry about the defense, doesn't want to have to go think about whether or not on the headset the defensive coordinator is doing what he wants. So in some sense, like having a very independent guy, which is not right. Kyle has not had Wilkes came from the outside. Both Sala and D'Amico were guys who understood there was a clear power dynamic between Sala and D'Amico Ryans and Kyle Shanahan, right? He was giving them a chance to make their careers. And so there was never going to be any push or pull about, hey, if this is what Kyle wants, he just made me a defensive coordinator. This guy's giving me my shot, right? You hire Vrabel or Rex Ryan or Bill Belichick. It's a very different dynamic than Shanahan has had. Even Wilkes, right? Wilkes has been a head coach. Wilkes has a different standing in the league at the time than D'Amico, but D'Amico played, and Robert Sala. And he came in and tried to adapt, and I would say Pete Carroll's the same. Like all these guys, that's a very different power dynamic for Shanahan. And I think ultimately Kyle wants to win a Super Bowl. And I think in his ideal world, he doesn't have to check in on the defense. So I don't know. That would be very interesting. I think the personality stuff with Rex would make it a difficult fit. So I agree with Crocky ultimately. But I think Kyle, an independent defensive coach, as long as Fred Warner's good with it, as long as Nick Bosa's good with it, like if those guys are good with it, then Shanahan can stay out of it. And ultimately, Kyle would prefer to stay out of it, right? I don't think he wants to be putting his hand in the defense. He doesn't want to be screaming on the headset on the last drive. He'd rather be just clock managing and thinking about his next play call. So I don't think that's entirely a bad thing, but I do see why Rex specifically would be a tough just personality fit for the 49ers. Antonio Super Chat. Wilkes keeps getting a real deal. A raw deal, I think, is what Antonio is saying here. He was brought in with no coaches and was asked to learn to adjust for a foreign system and only give him 1 year to do it. Fair? I mean, there's no fair or unfair. They put him in a tough spot. It was probably not Kyle's preferred method. It didn't work. They moved on. So tough spot. Yeah, difficult spot for Steve Wilkes. That's why I said it's not about scapegoating. It's just about figuring out how do you fit. You have a problem. Do you have a problem? Yes, there is a problem. What do we have to do to fix the problem? We've got to try to find another solution. The solution after Sala and D'Amico, the solution after Sala was an obvious solution. Sala's gone. We got D'Amico. He's Johnny Holland's assistant linebacker coach. Bam, D'Amico Ryan's defensive coordinator. D'Amico leaves. There was not an obvious replacement for him. So they tried something less than ideal. It didn't check every box. It didn't work. So you move on. I don't think it's, you know, there's no fair or unfair. I think you absolutely have to acknowledge that Steve Wilkes was in a tough spot. No question about it. It didn't work for whatever reason. So now they're going to try another solution and hopefully this works. Now, Crocky's thing was like, go with Johnny Holland. Is Kyle going to be more likely to go internal candidate now because of all the challenges of having somebody fit in? I don't think you have to. You just have to find somebody who fits. And that's where I wonder. I didn't actually get to it ultimately with Crocky, but would he be less inclined to go secondary coach? It shocked me. It shocked me when I started doing college football games. And the first time I talked to an offensive coordinator who had a run game coordinator. And I always thought that those titles were just kind of meaningless. Oh, I'm the OC and the pass game coordinator, and that guy's the run game coordinator. And then after meeting with him, I talked to my analyst, and the analyst goes, he doesn't know the run game. I said, well, how can he call plays if he doesn't know the run game? And he goes, well, that's a problem. He's not going to be very good at it. He doesn't understand the run game. Now, sometimes guys will lean on their, and I've been around those meetings a lot in college football, not as much in the NFL. The week before I call a game on TV, you have meetings with the OC, the DC, and the head coach. And sometimes I've been in meetings where they bring in two coordinators. They'll bring in the run game and the pass game coordinator on offense or defense. It doesn't happen a lot, but it happens sometimes. And I like when that has happened because it gives you a chance to really figure out, so how do you do this? Who's calling the plays? And usually the way they do it is one person is calling the plays. When it comes time for let's say the pass game coordinator is calling the plays, which is generally, I think, how it goes. When he's like, I need a run here, then he clicks over to the run game coordinator, or not clicks over, he just says to the run game coordinator, what do you got? Give me your best play. And the run game coordinator gives him a play. But that's a, you know, it's a little too collaborative, I think, for my taste. And it's, you know, you want one guy making those calls, I think. Now, sometimes people are always going to weigh in, but that can get a little bit messy. Anyway, so the question is, like, not every secondary coach is going to be that way, right? But it does take effort. It does take time to figure out. And that's where a linebacker is involved in both levels, maybe has an easier learning curve on that kind of stuff if you're going with a younger guy. Bobo says Kyle should call the defense next season so he can finally blame himself and then fire himself. Kyle doesn't want anything to do with the defense. I don't think he wants to do any of that stuff. I don't think he wants to jump in on any of that stuff. But the head coach doesn't fire himself. As Jed York once said, the owner doesn't fire himself. Okay. Non-Steve Wilks related, but a couple other things I wanted to get to. Update, interesting update on the NFL overtime rules. This was from ESPN analytics expert Brian Burke. This is from 2 years ago. Okay, this is 2 years ago. He did 120,000 simulations of the new overtime rules that we just saw play out in the Super Bowl. And so the question is, did Kyle Shanahan do the right thing or the wrong thing taking the football first? And here's what the simulation said. If the second possession, the team with the first possession wins 50.29% of the time, assuming the team with the second possession didn't go for two if they match the TD. So slight advantage to taking the football first in the new NFL playoff overtime, as long as the second team doesn't try to go for two. But the Chiefs had said they were going to go for two. He goes on to say, if the team with the second possession goes for two to match the TD, the team with the first possession wins 50.19% of the time. Very slight difference. Bottom line, if you want the first possession, a bottom line on those results, you'd want the first possession. You would want the first possession, and you want to go for two on the second possession. So in a bizarre way, both Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid played it correctly. I did not have any issue with Kyle after the game or in the moment, although I did disagree with his logic about getting the ball third. For me, the logic was your defense was just on the field for 11 snaps. Give them a rest. If you've seen the NFL films footage that came out yesterday, the Chiefs were very excited that the Niners took the ball. Pat Mahomes goes running to the sideline and he's saying, they took the ball, they took the ball. And Travis Kelce says, this is what we wanted. They got the ball. This is what we wanted. So they were very, very mentally ready for what all of that meant. And while I like Kyle's logic, also I can say, I think, you got to take the ball second in that spot. You know, 120,000 simulations is different than you are playing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And I'm not second guessing Kyle now. I have to stick with what I said as my opinion, right? In the moment, it's easy 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days later with more information to start changing it. I still think his defense was in a tough spot. And I still think it would have put Brock in a little bit of a difficult spot to give him the ball second. But moving forward, I think, having seen it play out now, I would change the way I felt in the moment, which is you just ultimately know what you have to do when you take the ball second. You know if you're going to go for two. You know if a field goal wins the game. You know fourth and one from the 30-yard line. What do you do? Are you kicking a field goal to tie? Are you going for it? What are you doing? And those advantages, I think, outweigh getting the ball third. You know, it does make me think also, when you're talking about getting the ball third, you're either talking about two things. You're talking about they kick a field goal, we kick a field goal. I guess you're talking about three things. You're talking about we don't score, they don't score. Or you're talking about they score a touchdown, we score a touchdown, and don't go for two. It makes me think Kyle would not have gone for two had they gotten the ball second. If the Chiefs scored a touchdown, went for the extra point up by 7, the Niners scored a touchdown, what would Shanahan have done? He hasn't answered that question. I hadn't thought about it till this morning, but I think he would have kicked the extra point. I don't know. That'd be a question for him. I'm sure he's talked about it. Maybe he knows the answer. But it makes me think that he would not have gone for two. If you're thinking, well, guy, it's Thursday and the Super Bowl loss still hurts. Well, there's numbers for that, too. FTN Fantasy is what used to be Football Outsiders. These are the people that invented DVOA. Okay, Football Outsiders invented DVOA, which is a stat that maybe a lot of you have heard thrown around. It's a measure of how much better than average you are factoring in the down and distance of every play. And using DVOA, they have I didn't put that up on the screen. Using DVOA, they have determined the top 10 NFL dynasties. And their explanation of it was really good. Their explanation is this is not just about who's won X amount of Super Bowls in X amount of years. It's also about getting deep into the playoffs. So the Kansas City Chiefs are now the 10th ranked dynasty based on this DVOA metric. The 18-year run of the Patriots and the 49ers from 81 to 98 are number two in dynasty ranks. And as you know, if you're a Niner fan, if you're a Patriots fan, that doesn't just factor in winning Super Bowls. That factors in how deep in the playoffs you go in other years. So you got the Chiefs with three Super Bowl wins. They advanced to another AFC championship game, and they went to another Super Bowl. So that's how they factor in, and that's why they moved into the top 10. We're not so much here to talk about the top 10 dynasties. We're here to talk about the top 10 dynasties of heartbreak, which FTN Fantasy broke down this week. And the 49ers have moved into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10th place just in 4 years. You look at some of these long-running dynasties, they're 14 years of heartbreak or 10 years of heartbreak. The Niners' four-year run has been so heartbreaky that they are now a top 10 dynasty of heartbreak based on 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023, five-year run. Here's what FTN Fantasy wrote. You get more heartbreak points for advancing further in the playoffs and more heartbreak points for losing close games rather than blowouts. Check, check for the 49ers. Well, you don't get much closer than losing a lead in overtime of the Super Bowl and still losing. San Francisco joins the 1990 Bills and the 2016 Falcons as the only teams in the Super Bowl era to earn the maximum 200 points of playoff heartbreak in a single year. So there you go. If you needed numbers to back up your heartbreak, they've got them. Congrats. You win a Super Bowl, by the way, and all this gets washed away. And that's where I think and that's where I think that what comes next is so interesting. The other NFL films, I could watch the NFL films, Super Bowl stuff all day long. It's on the CW. I'm not exactly sure. I think it streams today. It's like the Inside the NFL stuff with Ryan Clark and Jay Cutler and Ocho and those guys. So I've just been seeing a lot of the clips on social. I haven't actually watched the show yet, but I love every year when that show comes out just to watch that whole show of everybody mic'd up during the Super Bowl. And there's a really touching moment on the bench. Fred Warner, after Dre Greenlaw got hurt. Now, you remember, Dre Greenlaw gets hurt. The Niners run out on the field. I'm watching the game going, he clearly just popped an Achilles. How are they going to handle this? And they played well. But then they get to the bench, and Warner looks like he's in tears on the sideline. And Nick Bosa is trying to console him. Warner's sitting, if you haven't seen the clip, and Bosa's talking into his ear, and he's just saying, I'm so sorry, man. Like, we got to find a way through this. And Warner is really having a tough time. And obviously he did find a way through it. Fred played excellent in the game, despite seeing, you know, I think people understand the thing about Warner and Greenlaw is there's other linebackers on the team. But when you go to a Niners practice, and some of you maybe have been to the open practices, if you're a Niner fan, I've been to a lot of them and I've watched these guys in training camp. When they break off into individual, when they break off into position drills, it's Fred and Dre and Johnny Holland. Now, other times there are other linebackers there, but often it's just the two of them together. That's it. There's not another linebacker with them. It's just Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw doing like tennis ball drills, catching the ball or doing whatever, playing catch. I think Greenlaw's left-handed. So they spend a lot of time together. And, you know, I said this during the year and I said it definitely after the Super Bowl this week. Coming back from losing heartbreaking games this many times is really challenging. And this team is really going to get tested this offseason. Their leadership is going to get tested this offseason. Can you come back ready to chase it again? Or are you too worn out? That's going to be a big question for this team. And knowing that they're going to have to play next year for half the year, a good portion of the year without Dre Greenlaw, even if he comes back next season, you know, this Achilles, it's usually the year after you come back where you finally get, if you're going to get back to your old self, where that happens, right? Let's say it's a 9-month injury and he comes back, whatever, November 1st. November 1st, he's not just back to Dre Greenlaw, right? If he's ever going to get back there, you figure that's 2020. That's like September 1st of 2025, maybe, when he finally gets back there. So who knows what's going to happen here. But I think if I'm Kyle, if I'm the 49ers, one of my hopes, and I don't think you can verbalize this to anybody, but I'd be keeping a close eye on Dre Greenlaw. And my hope would be that Dre Greenlaw's, the amount of effort that Dre Greenlaw is going to have to put in here to continue his career and to get back to who he was, because he's still in his athletic prime from an age standpoint. Maybe that could be a source of inspiration for my team, right? That's what I'm thinking. It's like, I don't want Dre Greenlaw away from this team as he's rehabbing, because these guys have to go through something mentally very difficult now, which is find a way to get their mind ready to go all the way back to the Super Bowl after they've been so close so many times. And seeing Dre Greenlaw fight for his career every day, which is what Dre Greenlaw is going to be doing, I think could be a good source of perspective for the 49ers. If Dre Greenlaw's doing this, working this hard to get back to us, what kind of team are we going to be for him when he gets back? And I, you know, if I'm them, that's how I'm thinking of it, to try and turn this negative into a positive, because they're going to need, they are going to need inspiration. I know Kyle said all these guys love football. Oh, you know, the great thing about this team, all these guys love football, no doubt. But anybody who's ever tried to accomplish anything knows you get knocked down. Sometimes you need a little. You need a little help. And I think they're going to have to encourage Greenlaw, but I think Greenlaw can be a source of, I think he can be a source of strength and inspiration for them. And they're going to need it. They're going to need it. So do the shoes suck? Dale asks. I don't know. Or is it just something weird? I mean, you have to ask the question, did practicing on the soft field last week leading up to the Super Bowl affect him in any way? He's had some Achilles tendonitis over his career. Did the practice field lead him to this? I mean, that I, you know, I don't think that question was asked, but that question was that question should be asked. So comment, bringing in a new DC will probably help with motivation of the team next year. Maybe. I mean, that person's coming into, if they're coming in from the outside, a unique situation, right? All these guys have been through a lot together and you're stepping in. You better know your stuff. Like, the next guy better really have these guys. He better know it as well as them and better than them, because they're just such an accomplished group. Andre says, Greenlaw being out was huge. You cannot replace him. The injury is big for his career. It will affect his speed. He won't be ready. Bring back Azeez Al-Shaair. What's his contract situation? Is he a free agent? I don't think so. Is he? Oh, he is. No. They signed him last year as unrestricted free agent in Tennessee. You going to trade for him? Three-year, blah, blah, blah. Azeez Al-Shaair. Yeah, he's available. Okay. Could bring Vrabel can bring him. How about that? Salah's not leaving the Jets yet. Comment, does Kyle need an OC? No, he's a fantastic offensive coordinator. Flaws, everybody does, has mistakes, whatever. But no, non-starter. All right. Lot got in the show today. Appreciate all you guys being here. Hit that like button. Appreciate that if you're watching. Subscribe to the channel if you're watching. Share it. That'd be awesome. If you're listening, you can watch it. If you're listening, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, thank you. And a question. Leave a question in your review for the mailbag, and we'll start to get back to those things as well. I have one more question I want to get to, actually. Somebody asked me a question on X. This is from Gabriel. He said, what would make it more likely for Belichick to get a head coaching job in 2025? A year in the booth or a year as a defensive coordinator with an elite defense and a chance at a Super Bowl? Or is he just a lock to get a gig next year given his resume? Well, you would have thought he was a lock to get a gig this year given his resume. He wasn't. I don't think he needs one versus the other. You know, going into the booth can be very good for your career. Owners see you. Owners make the hire. You look smart on TV, and people want you. Every year you're in the booth, you get more attractive, I think. It happened with John Gruden that way until finally the Raiders paid him $100 million. You know, if McVay walked away and went to the booth, McVay would be more expensive when he came out of the booth because you get paid a lot of money in the booth. The flip side of that is you win a Super Bowl as the defensive coordinator with the Niners. You know, you show people you can work with others, although I don't know that he cares about that. So I think either way, Bill will be back if he wants to be back. But you know, feels like a pipe dream, but I'd love to see it. And here's for everyone who says, like, that's not happening. You might be right, but Kyle Shanahan is picking up the phone and making that phone call. They are making that phone call. You have to make that phone call. Okay, that's that for this. All you guys, thanks, guys. You're guys, I'm guys, for being here. And we'll talk to everybody soon. Later, y'all.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.